Hi there, piss freaks and geeks. Tom Takar here with a couple pieces of business before we get into the show. If you're not already on our Patreon, check it out at patreon.com/standbyyourband because we've got bonus episodes and our new weekly series, The Worst Song on Spotify, up there, where Tommy and I search for the worst song that exists on Spotify. One tier of our Patreon subscribers also gets to send us a song they want us to discuss, and you'll hear that at the end of this episode when we talk about beloved Patreon subscriber and piss freak extraordinaire Elizabeth Wilson's submission, Before He Cheats, by Carrie Underwood. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show. The year is 1993. Mattel introduces Gay Ken, a Ken with blonde highlights, a lavender vest, and an earring in his left ear. Finally, a Barbie doll that isn't for straight men. Women aren't allowed to wear pants on the U.S. Senate floor until two senators protest by wearing pantsuits. Still the whitest act of defiance until Charlottesville 2017. And in San Francisco, California that is, Stephen Jenkins, a man who didn't know how to spell Stephen properly, and Kevin Cadogan became writing partners after hitting it off after a show. The boys quickly put together demo after demo over the next couple years. Their third demo picked up label attention, and Clive Davis invited the boys to New York City to showcase for Arista Records. At live shows during this period, the band had a pinata that would release candy over mosh pits, but at this showcase, they filled the pinata with crickets. Crickets that they gathered at a Tommy McNamara stand-up show. In 96, the band got to open for Oasis at the San Francisco Civic Auditorium, and in a rare scenario, they were invited back for an encore after their opening set, and the venue doubled their pay. The industry attention started pouring in, and a bidding war began. Jenkins and Cadogan signed with Elektra Records, and in 97 put out their first album. The self-titled release had five singles in Semi-Charmed Life, Graduate, How's It Gonna Be, Losing a Whole Year, and Jumper. Semi-Charmed Life stayed number one on modern rock charts for 8 weeks straight and won Billboard Music's award for Modern Rock Track of the Year. This would be their most successful album, though their second album, Blue, released 2 years later, would see two hits in Never Let You Go and Deep Inside of You. With 12 million records sold, three top 10 charting singles, and two platinum albums, the pride or the shame of San Francisco, you decide, today we stand by Third Eye Blind. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Stand By Your Band, the show where we have guests on who defend music that people shit on them for liking. And
it gets more wordy every time.
And it's a podcast that people also yell at us for even bringing up bands that don't need to be defended in their opinion, but then other people get mad at us for defending them. So solve that riddle for me, fucko. You're fucko, Tommy.
What?
I don't know.
I thought it was piss freak.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you. See? The word's
wow.
Spreading.
I listened to the podcast.
No, I like to think you didn't listen to the podcast. You just
I
know.
I just know. We've never met.
The voices you are hearing are, of course, my constant gardener.
Rachel what?
Yeah. My consistent co-host, Tommy McNamara.
Consistent co-host makes it sound like it's not permanent.
Hey, you earn your job every week. And, of course, our guest today, Teresa Lee.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, I flew all the way from LA.
This is why you came. Yeah. You're not the first. Who else did it? Well,
Joe Quazzala, our
guest
number two.
Yeah, Joe Quazzala. We've had a few LA people. Kyle Ayers, who now lives in LA, but he did it when he lived here.
He left because he did this podcast.
Well, this is like one of those things. People move to New York. Once they do this, what's left? You got to change towns.
Yeah.
Get new goals.
If you read any of those like New Yorker Why I'm Leaving New York essays that people always publish, it's always, I did Stand By Your Band.
I did the Carnegie Hall of Podcasts. Teresa, you had a birthday party last night, right?
I did. I'm so bummed.
I was gonna go, and then
I know there was a game, and I'm sorry you guys lost.
There was a damn Cubs game, and I was gonna go and watch it there. I don't know if there were TVs there, and then I was like, nobody wants that vibe. Nobody needs somebody angry in a corner watching baseball.
It was very chill. Yeah, it was fun. And I did actually. I went to a bar and I saw the end of that game. And I was like, oh, bummer.
Yeah.
Have you been to a Dodgers game? In LA?
No, I haven't. But people don't really go, I feel like, to watch. I mean, some people do, but a lot of people just go and hang. I feel like there's not really, like, hardcore Dodger fans.
We feel the same way.
We definitely feel the same, and it makes it... I don't want to alienate our Dodger fan. There's no fucking Dodger fan.
Well, Justin Turner listens. Third baseman. Yeah.
Oh, that piece of shit. He's the ugliest man in sports. And it's annoying, because we got these babes on our team. We got Chris Bryant's dreamy eyes, and we got to face this bridge troll every week. And look, I'm all for an ugly man, but he just, I don't know, there's something about him that I don't like. It I don't like his attitude. Mm-hmm. I don't like that he plays in La La Land. Mm-hmm. City of Stars, get him out of there. Anyway, that's been Baseball Corner. Yeah, how's your trip going so far?
It's good. Yeah, I mean, I'm here for a wedding, so all my shows are done, and now I'm just I gotta lose a bunch of weight. No, I don't. I don't know. It's always weird coming back to New York, because I went to school here, so
yeah.
I feel like it's a mix of different people I have to see, like, from all facets of my life. So.
Yeah, yeah. Tommy, you went to school in Boston. Do you feel weird
in Worcester,
going?
Massachusetts. Oh, it's like an hour away from Boston, yeah.
Do you feel weird going back?
No, I mean, I'm never really in Worcester, but when I'm in Boston, it's nice. I just see...
Yeah, you just see a bunch of people.
Like, it's different than if it's where you live.
And you got a bunch of dumbass friends that are fun to hang out with.
A bunch of wild men, yeah.
I feel like... Yeah, we spent a night with Tommy's college friend. I just remember... Oh, wow. Were those your college friends or high school friends?
Yeah, oh, Boston,
okay,
yeah.
Where we... me and Tommy ended up being up until like 5 a.m. just screaming Kanye lyrics in the living room.
Yep.
And then this dude who passed out at like 8 p.m. came back into the living room and was like, fuck it, I'm drinking again.
Yeah. Oh my
God. He started back up. It was so good.
That man is a Marine.
I do always end up staying up later when I'm out here. And then just like eating terrible food at the end of the night. I had McDonald's last night.
Oh,
well,
shit.
Actually, I stopped at McDonald's on the way home, and then I was going to eat it, but then my other friend was sleeping in the living room, and I didn't want to wake her. She got up to go to the bathroom, though, so I was like, oh, great, I can eat my sandwich. I took a few bites, and she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I was trying to eat this before you fall back asleep. And then I was like, you know what? This is really sad. Just put it away.
Wow.
So I didn't finish it, but I woke up and was like, I'm glad I didn't finish it.
Yeah, that's self-control. What sandwich did you get?
It was a McChicken.
Okay. That's like...
Great sandwich.
That's a go-to. I've been getting it because I am in a real routine where I go to the gym, but then I forget to eat.
Congrats.
Yeah, hey, I work out, guys. Hey, listeners, I'll kick you. I'm working out so that I can beat the shit out of everybody who comments on our Facebook. Yeah. Just today, there was one where it's like, I post it. I always post, do you hate, like, Third Eye Blind? Why? And then we get a bunch of comments, and every fucking time, we've talked about this a lot, but it's just crazy that it's still happening. There'll be six posts down. There'll be, and that's different from three doors down. six posts down, there'll be a post that's like, nobody hates Third Eye Blind. And I'm like, scroll up two fucking comments and look at people like, these songs ruined my youth.
Nobody important hates them. Like, if you're a good person.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Wow.
Interesting.
Okay, that's an interesting take.
That's a very bold statement.
We're putting down
mean...
the gauntlet.
No, I like that, like, because it challenges people to be like, wait, I'm a good person.
I just mean, my therapist tells me, like, you know, when you're making friends or looking for relationships, you got to look at values, right? It's all about who shares your values. And if you don't like Third Eye Blind, it's like, get out of my life.
There's a lot to be said. There's a lot to discuss on that when it comes to morality and old Stephen Jenkins.
Oh yeah.
Before that. Oh yeah. I was gonna say, I've been doing this thing where I get a chicken go wrap thing.
Uh-huh.
I feel
snack
like
wrap.
Snack wrap.
Oh, okay.
That's it. And every time I do it, I feel like shit. I don't know why I keep doing it, but it's like I'll get my blood sugar will get real low, and I'm like, I gotta stop at McDonald's again. Sucks, man. I had a guy that, speaking of the gym, I'm sorry, I'm like all over the place, so I'm like angry still. I had two things happen in the gym that infuriated me. Where one, a guy at this one, you know how, like, I don't know if you guys, like, when you go to the free weights, Mm-hmm. Sometimes people will just stand in front of the weights and lift. So then, like, they're blocking all the other weights. This might be a thing that only pisses me off. But,
well, I don't go to the gym.
So. Oh, okay. This is, like, it's so rude to me. Like, they'll just pick up the weights and start lifting right in front of the thing. And then I couldn't put my weights back, and so I set them in the, like, the spot next to where they go.
Uh-huh.
And then this guy taps me on the shoulder and points to where they need to go. I was like, you're fucking standing in front of there. And then another guy asked me to take a picture of him while he flexed.
What? No.
This has happened to me multiple times at this
oh
gym.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what people think of me there. They're not intimidated me by me enough. Anyways.
I used to go to the gym, but then I realized I was just doing... So I mostly just do, like... ab stuff, so I would just go to the mats, or sometimes I would do the treadmill, and then I would go to the mats
and you
then
could
spend
just
like an hour in front of a mirror at a gym that I was like paying for, and I'm like, I could just do this at home.
Yeah.
So then I stopped.
Yep. Yep. But then you don't get that sweet mirror. Wait, you don't have a mirror, do you?
Oh, of course I have.
Oh, shit. Okay, that's what I pay for the gym for. We can't afford a mirror.
This has been According to Jim. Our gym segment.
I have a twin sister. It's like a live mirror. I just make her stand in front of me. while I work out.
You just make her get really in shape.
Yeah.
And then you always think
and I eat my McChicken.
So it's an identical twin?
We don't know. They never told us.
Really?
Yeah, this was... This has caused fights, actually, before.
Wait, what?
I know.
What? You guys are, like, identical.
One time I told someone, it was at a festival, and people asked me, and I told them that I didn't know, and then, like, people got angry at me. They're like, how do you not know? I'm like, I don't know. The doctor just never told us.
I see steam coming out of Tommy's ears right now.
I don't know. Like, we do look like we could be identical, but Mary-Kate and Ashley are fraternal, so.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That the more you know. This is an educational podcast now. Let's talk a little bit about Third Eye Blind.
Yeah,
should we go right to the Facebook since we're there?
Yeah, we're already at the Facebook, so let's look at some of these comments. There were some great comments today, actually. I want to thank the people who responded, not the ones who fucking said no one. Right off the bat, we got it. I don't. How dare you? Hey, Ryan Niemiller. Get fucked.
I'm sure none of those people listen to the podcast.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's the thing is people will ask to be a guest within this thing. And they're like, hey, I hate Maroon 5. Can I do the show? It's like, that's not what the show is. That's not the show. This is the show. Okay.
I keep messaging the show Rescue Me. Like, I love fires. Can I do your show?
I served in the parking wars. We got Kevin Lobkovich says, I just want something else to get me through this semi-charm kind of life, you know? And then someone else
like
wrote, I'm not listening when you say, Tommy's a piss freak. That someone was me. And then Kevin wrote, I wish he'd step forward off that ledge.
Oh,
now that's fucked up. That's fucked up. Hey, we can't shame Tommy for being a piss freak anymore. All right, so Mike O'Keefe says, so I saw them live over the summer, and the lead singer gave this very long, meandering speech about how their band and their fans are a community, and they have one heart that beats together. Then I remembered we got our tickets as part of a Groupon. The show was half full, and everyone was on their phones. Not a lot of self-awareness from the Third Eye Blind camp.
Do you agree with the one heart that beats?
I've heard him do these speeches, and I actually like them because I feel like they know that people want to hear the old hits, but I feel like he's like they're great live, and I feel like I've seen them twice in the last 2 years.
Oh shit!
Wow! All right.
And like Stephen Jenkins is like into it, like, and he talks to his the audience. They're not all fans of that.
Right.
It sounds like that was maybe like some festival or something where they had a bunch of people.
I could see that.
Did you see him in L.A.?
I saw him and on a doubleheader with Dashboard Confessional.
Wow.
Hands down, best
Irvine.
Show you've ever seen.
In Irvine. And then I saw them play Outside Lands. So that was part of the festival. But he was also great. And yeah, he gives these speeches.
Uh-huh.
He connects to people and he like leaves it out there on the stage. He doesn't have to.
Yeah.
He could just play a recording and just like lips. People don't, he knows they're
sure.
But then he's like, no, I'm going to give you a good performance.
Well, the fact I can see some of the complaints on here that people saw them and they didn't play the hits, like they played new stuff.
Yeah.
And actually you put a new song on your playlist, then I was shocked because I stopped listening at Ursa Major, is that what it's called? Yeah. And because I thought, so I hated that album. Uh-huh. And then, so after that, I was just like, I'm not going to go back. And I kept hearing bad stuff. But the song you put, I don't normally tip my hand early, but I liked that song that you put from the new one. And then it made me seek out the new stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll talk more about that when we get to the playlist.
But I agree with you. Like, they definitely dropped off in, mm-hmm. like, you know, in the 2000s or whatever.
Yeah.
Whenever that Ursa Major came out. But I think it's because, you know, they just hit it so hard coming out of the gate.
Yeah.
They're so hot. But he's like, I think he's a great musician and he's a great songwriter. So
that's,
you know, they kind of came back around, and then you kind of go through their library, and yeah, not everything in there was the best, but we're also comparing to these like top charting songs.
Sure.
Like the
absolutely.
90s.
They were definitely like a, what do you call it? Fire in a pan? Is that a,
what?
Is that a saying?
Is that a Chicago
is
thing?
That a saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah. We have pan pizza.
Yeah, and, pan pizza.
The Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire. Oh, no.
They were like flash in a pan. That's what I was trying to think of.
I still don't know that.
That
doesn't
like,
apply.
It doesn't? Because they were
if they were flash in a pan, they would have been a one-hit wonder.
Oh,
sure. I guess it felt like a very short window because it was like 97 and 99.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a bunch of hits off those two albums, and then nothing ever again, it felt like.
But they've kept going.
They kept going, yes. But as far as hits go, they haven't. Mm-hmm. So that's what I meant. So it applies, and fuck you. Really quickly, that you touched on his songwriting. So I want to play, we have a weekly segment They Went to Jared, where our friend Jared Thompson, I wasn't going to play a clip of bad lyrics. this is a weekly segment. Our friend / foe, Jared Thompson, maybe my best friend. He sends us voice memos about shitting.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
okay, good.
It.
So for the
What's
listeners,
up,
I'm going to clunk my way through this a little more. Yeah, he just shits on the band. So today, me and him talked for about a half an hour arguing about Third Eye Blind. And he made some great points, but we'll talk about it after play this here. I didn't get it ready, of course, because I'm a dumbass. All right, where's Jared? Okay, let me turn this way up.
What's up, y'all? This week they went to Jared. The boys, Tom and Tommy, are going to have a guest on defending Third Eye Blind. I think we kind of covered this in the Bare Naked Ladies episode, maybe something else, maybe Coldplay, where, you know, Third Eye Blind is really bad. I understand, believe me, I get sentimentality of bands that you grew up with. I understand that this podcast sometimes centers around that. Like, a lot of times the guests listen to this music in middle school or high school or whatever, and it was like one of the first bands that they liked. So there's a sentimentality attached to it. So I totally get why you would like this band if you liked it when you were younger. There's nothing to defend now other than that you think it's fun still. It's not good. I think my point originally in the Bare Naked Ladies episode, if that's where we discussed this, I think my point originally was that this was like the first time that I've ever known where a band had like commercial success, radio, and, you know, were popular in the mainstream, not being able to like carry a note. It's just never really happened before. Like, you know, Bob Dylan was never like a sincerely like huge radio artist. A lot of people don't like Neil Young's voice. I mean, so I get that there have been popular artists, but I'm saying Third Eye Blind was like on the charts. Like, they were popular in a way that maybe Bob Dylan wasn't at the time that the albums were released. So it's really interesting to me. It's terrible. I hate it. And I don't really get it, but I also was older when they were first around. So anyway, all right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, so Jared called me today. We talked about this. I hadn't listened to that, but we discussed it. We talked about this for about a half an hour. Mostly the concept of that we like this because we grew up with it or something, that it was like a nostalgia thing.
First of all, I am still young, so I don't appreciate that comment.
Yeah, yeah. That's all right. You win. No, the thing that I was trying to tell Jared, because Jared, his point was, you can't argue that this is good. He was like, listen to like the War on Drugs or the Beatles or something. He was like, compared, I don't want to muffle up what he said, but he was saying you can't listen to this and say it's as good as like Nirvana or something like that. And my thing was like, yeah, but you can still enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And musically, if you don't like his voice, you don't like his voice. That's just the way it is. Like, you either like it or you don't. I happen to like it most of the time. Sometimes I don't. But lyrics are so important to me.
Yeah.
And that was what he understood a little bit more when I was like, he says things in these songs that sometimes I think are perfect. Like,
yeah.
He has the perfect breakup lyrics. Like, you didn't put, there are like three songs on here that I was like, that I would have been like, I have to put this on. Like, I mean, Losing a Whole Year, I think, is one of the best breakup songs there is. It's so good. Or just like bad relationship songs. It's so good.
It's very, first of all, I disagree that they're bad musicians. I think, I don't know about all of them, you know. I mean, I know, I guess Kevin and Steven were the main guys, but Steven is really who I think of when I think of The Red Blind. And he's like a great songwriter. And he wrote for Vanessa Carlton. He wrote White Houses.
They dated, right?
Yeah, they dated.
That's okay.
I do love White Houses. I'm going to put it out there.
That's like the like girly version of like feeling like, you know, young relationship stuff.
Yes.
That kind of really perfectly captures the loss of innocence, but in a happy way. You know, a lot of times people sing about losing their virginity in a sad way.
Sure.
I think both Third Eye Blind and I guess that Vanessa Carlton song do a good job of like taking sad topics and making it fun.
Yeah.
In a way where you can still like connect to the sadness, but also have a good time.
Sure.
Wait, that is so weird that he wrote that.
Yeah.
Because that's like
he co-wrote it, but I think he wrote it. I mean, not to be like she couldn't do it, but
the high school like losing your virginity anthem for women. And it was written by this like 35 year old
guy. It's like when someone puts it in their AIM profile, you're like, well, she's not a virgin anymore.
That is so funny. I think what the argument was is like, yeah, these are lyrics that probably speak to a young person, but I feel like that he is able to elaborate. He's able to like bring to life feelings that you're like, like he's so angsty and like,
yeah, he's okay. He's like educated and sad, which is why I like him. That's like,
yeah,
it's sort of, he seems really smart.
Yeah.
He's like went to Berkeley and he went to my high school.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's like from my hometown. So he like,
do you have any rumors about him from the old days?
I think he like didn't want people to know he's from Palo Alto because it's like a nice town. So I think he was a little bit like shunning that.
Yeah.
But James Franco is also from there, and I think they're both similar. A lot of people hate James Franco.
Sure.
But I like them both in the sense that like they both connect to this like teenage angst.
Yes.
But also like kind of transcends it. Like there's a sense of like they're aware that they're privileged. Like I don't think he's trying to argue like, oh, my life is so hard. But he's also dealing with like, you know, depression and suicide and drugs and anxiety. And he's able to like capture that sort of like middle America.
Uh-huh.
Like you have a lot of things, but also you feel this like longing for something else.
Quick question.
Well done.
Have you ever heard the Radiohead song Palo Alto? Because it's cool as hell.
I don't know if I've heard that. What's it on?
It was one of the B-sides from OK Computer that just got released. It's so
good.
Check that out. It's about your dad.
Yeah. Is my name mentioned in it?
Yeah. Oh, the bridge.
Yeah, they talk about you and the street you lived on and stuff.
It says Karma Therese.
That is a stretch. Sub Teresa, homesick alien. So I think that you either like that part or you don't. I feel like it's hard to argue whether or not that's good or not, but arguing if you like his voice or not, that's a different thing.
But I do think musically, like to be clear, I think he's a good musician. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying like he's the Beatles, but
yeah. What do you think about his voice? Like, do you, Jared argues that he can't hit a note.
Oh my God.
Which,
I mean,
listening
like,
to some of this, I didn't think was fair. And then other things I was like, yeah, I don't think I can't tell if he's not trying to, or if he just doesn't have the voice to do it. But Jared, when we talked on the phone, was saying that, he was like, he sings as if he's Freddie Mercury. And he doesn't know that he can't do it.
Well, I think it's definitely stylized for sure. I mean, because it ended up being more pop than anything. But, you know, I feel like it's like, you know, garage bands in high school. People get into it because they want to play guitar, not because they want to sing.
Yeah.
So I feel like he's got the music. He knows how to write music.
Mm-hmm.
I like his voice. Maybe it's not like Adele, but...
Yeah.
But there's tons of bad... singer, what's that song that's just like, I wanna fuck you like an animal? Like
that is Nine Inch Nails, Closer.
Yeah, how like there's songs like that out there on the radio. Like,
see, that voice doesn't speak to me, but I also understand that he's accomplishing what he means to accomplish with that voice, if that makes sense. But I've always hated growly voices.
Well, I would say Trent Reznor is indisputably a better musician.
Sure.
I mean, he writes all those movie scores, and he plays every instrument on the record, and mm-hmm. he does all that. But
sure.
voice, I can say, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Stephen Jenkins' voice, because I do love some of the songs.
Uh-huh.
But also, like, when you think about what Jumper sounds like, it's kind of...
it's a little whiny.
Yeah, it's like that whiny, it's that nasally...
He has, like, an adult emo thing going on, yeah. where it's like... I feel like I hadn't heard anything like what he was doing before he did it, where it's like he gets away with saying things that are super emo, yeah. but also with adult undertones. Like, he's actually singing about it, the relationships
yeah,
he sings about sound very real. Yeah. Whereas if Panic at the Disco or My Chemical Romance, a better example, sang the same thing, like if they were trying to do the same thing, it would sound much more childish, I think.
Mm.
Let's get into, so while we're talking about the nostalgia factor of them, mm-hmm. when did you get into Third Eye Blind?
So Third Eye Blind was one of those bands that I like was just already there. You know, like it's so hard. I don't even remember like the first time I heard them. They mm-hmm. were like just there and it was like my foundation. So my foundation was really like pop music, and my parents are from Taiwan, so they didn't introduce me to any oldie. So really it was like straight out of the gate. It was like pop punk and pop. Like I love teeny pop, like
yeah.
Britney and Backstreet Boys.
Uh-huh.
And then I love Blink-182, Third Eye Blind, like all of that stuff. And I wasn't so into like anything alt quite yet. Although, I don't know. This doesn't really count as alt. It's everything on the radio I like. So it just, what I do remember is there was this kid in my class named Barry, and uh-huh. I had a huge crush on him, and
oh,
he liked
shit.
Third Eye Blind.
Barry, are you listening?
I think he's married now. I think my sister and I looked him up wow. like last year.
Home record.
He liked hockey, and he liked Third Eye Blind and Blink-182.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I think that's the first time I remember being like, I like Third Eye Blind, but I like them anyways.
Yeah.
But then that really crystallized it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about it, well, you weren't on this one, but we talked about it before with Coldplay. That's how I got into it. Is I just like
your friend Barry.
Yeah, I had a crush on Barry. He was just a Paul Alto boy. No, I had a crush on this lady, and then she saw one song from Coldplay on my phone and was like, oh, Coldplay, that's awesome. And then I downloaded everything Coldplay ever made. But yeah, Third Eye Blind, I felt like, you're right, it's, I feel like it is just the bass,
yeah,
because you hear it all the time. Like, there's three songs on this list that you made us that like just feel like, I feel like people treat them like they're like background noise at this point, because they're just, you hear them all the time.
I think it's anyone in our general age group. Like, it's like the way iTunes is like preloaded with some songs. Your body just knows those songs already.
But okay, I disagree on that, because, and here I have evidence for it. So like, I don't think it's background noise, because I've sung, I think I know which songs you're talking about, the most popular songs.
Yeah,
I've
yeah.
sung those songs in karaoke, and whenever it comes on, like, the crowds go crazy. If it was a background noise that everyone hated, everyone would be like, man, whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's not. Everyone, like, they still like hearing it. And Jumper sure. comes in so, like, you know, distinctive, and you hear it and you're like, yes, and everyone gets excited.
Okay, that's
so I
fair.
Think you can hear it over and over, and yeah. it still has the same effect. You're like, I love the song.
It is like a weird, like you're like a weird Manchurian candidate where if someone plays Jumper, it's like hearing your password, you just activate. Like,
yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, you start.
Let me just get my skater shoes on.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to, you put on your JNCOs and you go.
How old are you?
I don't have JNCOs. Hey, come on. Hey, fuck you. That's how old I am.
You get your phonograph. And
look at this phonograph.
Oh, my God. I did, when I saw him perform, he was wearing like cargo, I think maybe not cargo shorts, but they were definitely shorts.
Yeah.
Like that's how he dresses, just mm-hmm. like this like grown up teenage boy.
Yeah.
My friend Micah Brucey, I just ran into on the street, and he was, mm-hmm. we were talking about that. He said when he saw them, they were at some festival, he was wearing an all white linen, like pants and shirt, and someone threw a beer at him.
No.
He, like, he flipped out, understandably.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There are a lot of stories about him being a dick. That one, you're like, well, it's kind of the guy who threw
yeah.
the beer.
Yeah. Poor Steven.
Speaking of beer, this is from last night. It's not that bad.
Oh,
I just took a sip of a beer I opened last night. And you ever open a beer right like late and then you're like, I don't
want
to drink
it.
This. Yeah. But then you feel bad wasting it too.
Mm.
What do you do about that?
We used to
drink
call them
it during the podcast.
We called them wounded soldiers.
Wounded
is
soldiers,
that,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
A very
fratty
thing, though.
We used
I think.
To say
yeah,
that
yeah.
too, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I will say to kind of connect those two things, my main Third Eye Blind memory is my freshman year of college. There was like a big party. It was like the spring weekend. It was the big weekend. And there was this party and it was at a house. And I like climbed down to the roof of the house. I was like, I could see the whole party. And it was like, I thought it was really cool.
No wonder you love Trent Reznor so much.
And everyone was like, he's going to die. So people were like, come down, get off the roof. And I was like, no, this is awesome. And then finally my friend Pat like climbed through the window also and sang Jumper to me. God. And that was the only thing that could get me up. So that song literally saved
my
life.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Man, you should love them then. That is so funny. It's so funny to think that that is who he's singing that to.
Yeah.
Just a drunk idiot. I was reading, supposedly, because he played that at the... There's this big story.
This is a Republican thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So there's this big story where he played for a mostly Republican crowd at this event. It wasn't an RNC event, but there were a bunch of RNC events surrounding it. And so he wanted to piss them off. He kind of like... purposefully like through the show, like he fucked up. He was changing the lines to make fun of Republican people, asking them if they believed in science and shit like that. But he also played Jumper, and that was like one of the few things they were happy he did. But he was like, no, I played that because it's supposed to be about, and he told the story, it was like supposed to be about like a gay teen like killing himself.
It's his best friend.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, some gay teen or whatever. And, so he thought that that would like maybe inspire some sympathy from this crowd towards gay people, but they mostly just tweeted that he sucked. But yeah, so that's, or it's about Tommy.
But then see, how can you not like him? I feel like he's out there trolling and he doesn't have to do any of this stuff.
Sure.
Like, I think he does have like an air of like trying a little too hard sometimes. But he's also 53 years old. Like he wants.
Is that true?
Yeah, he's like an old man, and he wants to be Steven. Involved. He doesn't have to be. He's set for life.
Yeah.
He still bikes around San Francisco, and like he biked to Outside Lands when I watched him perform, and he was just so happy. He was like, "I'm so happy to be in my hometown," and like he just wants to care. And sometimes he comes off a little disconnected because he's an old white guy who has a lot of money.
Sure.
But I think he tries, and I think his heart's in the right
place. I'm torn on him as a figure. Like, I think that this is where most... I think there are people who are just genuinely annoyed with his music. Like, but I think a lot of it is personal with Stephen Jenkins. I think that he has an attitude that people don't like. I think the way he dances is bad. Like, I personally... like,
I don't think I've ever seen him dance.
There's, like, him... There's a video. The video I was watching earlier that you couldn't see but you could hear with Run DMC, where it's called... I think it's just called Rock Show or something.
Can we play
like
a little of that? Is that possible?
Yeah, let me see if I can. I'm actually not totally sure that I can, but
is he trying
to
dance well? Or
he's just like rocking up there, and it's so funny because none of Run DMC will look at him or anything. I mean, they're pretty embarrassing in it too. The whole thing is just, it should have never happened. It's very upsetting. It is embarrassing to me to watch, but I'm gonna try to pull it up here. We also have some clips from when he was on Cribs that are very
funny. Yeah, have you seen
funny.
That, Teresa?
Oh, I haven't. No.
He has the funniest MTV Cribs I think there ever was.
I didn't get cable when I was a kid. My mom wouldn't let me watch MTV.
Oh,
so yeah,
shit.
I had to sneak
That's
it in.
That's a
when
form
I,
of child
friends.
Abuse.
Did you overdose
yeah,
on
that,
it later?
That was worse than the actual hitting.
Honestly, kind of. Let's see.
This is pleasant.
You can kind of hear him. He's playing guitar and just like...
He's not the one yelling, "I'm black."
He says like... You see what I mean? Like he's moving around kind of weird. Oh, that's my least favorite part. When Sorry, Tommy.
But this is a music video, right?
I know, but it's like, come on. I don't know. That like,
I've said this before, but that does sound like one of the songs they would use at Guantanamo to punish
I really
people.
Think that could be... We're doing a new segment called...
Is that on Spotify?
Oh, I don't think it is. I don't know if it would be worse song on Spotify, but it's pretty bad. Yeah. I mean, the distortion in his voice is just disgusting
when
to me.
When was that released?
That's like, I think that might have been like 2003 or something like that. I could be very wrong on that. It's there's
yeah,
got to be
like
a date.
Screaming was big.
I mean, he always kind of does that. He builds and then he's like, ah, all right,
scream,
come on, you little doggy.
But he screams with a melody.
It's like
I feel like he's melodically screaming.
I like when he does it.
Graduate
usually.
Is great.
That's so good. Oh,
I used to do. Miles, but I like that song.
So I have a lot of backstory with Third Eye Blind because I was obsessed with them. They were like not my favorite band, but one of them. They were like a band that when I was 18, I downloaded everything that I could find from them, and I was obsessed with them. And I just remember listening to Can I Graduate? Mm-hmm. Or can, I said it like he says it. I had this roommate that hated them, and I would annoy him by... I would be like, hey, Chris, can I ask you a question? And then I would just crank. He's like, yeah, what do you need? I'd be like, can I graduate? And I'd turn the song all the way up. And he'd be like, I fucking hate you, man. And you're a fucking nerd. Like, he was banging like three people a day and stuff. And I was, yeah. I've told you about it. Yeah, he's my male model roommate. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was
what's
very.
His name again?
Chris.
What's his full name?
No, Chris Wagner. I think he's like
okay,
a fireman
go,
now. he ended up cheating. Oh man, this is crazy.
No.
I ran into he was like my first like cool friend, and he would like have these huge parties at our place, and he had this friend who would come over and he'd like eat dog food for us and stuff.
What?
he was just a dumb
sounds
big
like
drunk
issues.
Guy. He was like a hot dude. Okay. He was like and he had like a smoke show of a girlfriend and
he was just a dog.
Oh my god. You know what I forgot? I'd ask him to roll over and he would. But he didn't like vacuum cleaners very much. Yeah, so this guy would eat dog food and stuff, but he had like a hot girlfriend and stuff, and they would come hang out with us all the time. And then Chris banged this guy's girlfriend, and I ran into the guy like a year later. Chris kind of fucked us on money and stuff, so I didn't really, you know. But then I ran into that guy, and I was like, oh, have you seen Chris lately? And he goes, well, he fucked, I want to say his girlfriend's name was Teresa, actually.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this was Barry. No, he's like, well, he fucked my girlfriend. So, and I was like, oh, cool. Well, good to see you, bud. But anyway, that was my story about Chris. I was obsessed with How's It Gonna Be and Deep Inside of You. And the first girl I dated, seriously, I put that on and she was like making fun of me. And she was like, what are you, gay? You like this? She was like deep
Did
inside of you.
Did you date Mark Normand?
Yeah.
What are you, gay?
What am I, gay? I'm fat, I'm gay, I'm cheating on you. Yeah, but she was like, this is so stupid. And she was like deep inside of it. And she made like dick jokes about it. And I was like, this is never going to work. I was like, this speaks so much to my heart.
Yeah, someone making fun of your taste in music, that's big no-no.
Big no-no.
And my favorite rapper, Big No-No.
I also feel like usually like girls like when guys are angsty, right? You know, they're like, oh, they're emotional. And they're
yeah, this lady was a hillbilly.
Write nice poetry. I don't know.
People
used to love musicians.
Yes. So I got super into their first album and their second album a lot. And then I loved that third album too for a long time. And then it's one of those things where I fell off of Third Eye Blind for a while. Mm-hmm. I would still listen to those hits, but then I would go back to Losing a Whole Year and like Narcolepsy, but I wouldn't go back to a lot else. And like God of Wine. There's so many good songs.
Yeah.
But then going back, I don't know if I loved Out of the Vein as much anymore, but the song that you picked from it is one of my favorites. But let's look a little bit at some of the Stephen Jenkins antics that make people hate
him.
Yeah,
why do people hate him?
So the case everyone who doesn't like Third Eye Blind just doesn't like him as a person.
Yes.
Is pretty much
that's a lot of it.
Is it that they think, well, because I will say, like, I do think he captures sort of like where I'm from, and I know also a lot of people don't like that. A lot of people don't like the Bay Area because everyone's so entitled, but like, you know, I'm from there, so it's like, for me, it's like I am aware of having that, but also wanting to like get out of it. So I think he captures that well. But I could see if you weren't from there and you hated, you know, those like sort of rich white kids living in the suburbs, like, yeah, I don't know, that's what he is, so you would hate that. But I don't know, maybe you can connect on some universal level.
Sure. I think that that's part of it for sure. But he also has done some things where I'm like, ugh. Like,
really?
Okay. Yeah, he's kind of a creep a little bit. Uh-oh. Yeah. But
I'm going to grab my phone for that one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also going to play the Cribs clips. Yeah. So this might not sound great, but me and Tommy were watching him on Cribs. Okay. And there were some clips that I was just like, we have to play these on the show if we can
now
get
I'm
them.
Now I'm scared. You're going to ruin this Stephen Jenkins.
I'm going to feel bad if we ruin Stephen Jenkins for you. But to be honest, he's a little bit ruined for me.
Oh, really?
Like, I read some of this stuff while I was listening to music, and I was like, oh, no. How does he do both? Like, He can write these lyrics that I love so much, but he also says...
Well, he does sing about fucked up shit, so I can see, like, he's, you know, probably done some fucked up shit. But I'm like, well, if you sing about it, he must have learned... his lesson.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if that's how it works all the time, but maybe. These are some little clips that I pulled from from Cribs.
Oh boy.
Let's see if this works.
That's my TV. I never watch it.
Did you hear that?
I never watch
it. He said, that's my TV. I never watch it. It's like, come on, dude. That's such a stereotypical, like, I don't know, cool guy thing to say.
Yeah.
This is him talking about...
wearing top hats, and I started collecting them.
Did you say top hats?
This is made in 1850, and it's in really good shape.
These do not sound as good as I was hoping they would, but he said, I started wearing top hats, and I started collecting them. There's also... I'm just gonna... As I remember them now, he starts playing his guitar on the couch, and he's like, yeah, this is my guitar. It's got a lot of sadness in it. And then he like plays a string, and then he goes, yeah, it writes the songs for me. Which I fucking, it's so lame.
But what do you think a musician is?
That's
true.
You
know, like every successful musician has at one point been at a college party and like pulled out his guitar and been
true.
I'm going to play it. Like bad people have also done that, but like, you know, the good ones did it too.
That's a good point.
Who's chasing that career?
That's a good
Someone
point.
Who... thinks their guitar speaking sadness to them. Like
the funny thing about his that is true. That's fair. The funny thing about his Cribs is that his place isn't even that cool. And then he has this record player. I want to see if this one will play.
I had a record player in here, but it broke. But I still have some records.
He said I had a record player in here, but it broke. You're rich, dog. Like, this is your MTV's coming to your house to film your house for all of the world to see. And you're like, yeah, I didn't really fix the record player or whatever. I'm a millionaire.
Maybe he was just like a backup, and they're like, oh shit.
That could be.
Show up at the last second.
That is very possible. I think he'd be pissed if that were the truth. So we found some accounts, though.
Uh-oh.
If you just search Stephen Jenkins, and like, unfortunately, now the controversy thing is. You get overwhelmed with stuff from the RNC thing.
He did flirt with a friend of mine. So I don't know if you're going to talk about him and girls, which
we
is
are.
Why I think...
We are. Yeah.
So I can kind of be like,
please
well,
tell the story.
I don't know the full story. I know they hung out and he like flirted with her and there wasn't anything that happened or anything. But I can see if he's like flirting with...
Yeah.
I mean, she wasn't anybody.
You know
she was in college, like 20 or something.
He actually wrote Graduate when he was hitting on underage girls.
Oh my God. No.
He was trying to relate.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
like, oh, school sucks, right?
He was like, hurry up and graduate.
Can you graduate?
You?
So this is one that was, some of these sources you don't know because this is like from Reddit, but this woman wrote, a friend of mine banged Stephen Jenkins, the lead singer of Third Eye Blind. She was front row at a concert at a college she went to. He told her to come backstage after the show and pick two other girls, too. After getting a closer look at them, he picked her and took her back to the trailer. I heard it was sweaty, and he was really fucked up. But what did you expect?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's a story. Like, that doesn't sound that bad. I'm not, like, saying, like, musicians should go out and, like, just pick people, but, you know, they do that. And it sounded consensual.
Yeah.
And it sounded like her friend wanted to fuck Stephen Jenkins and then told her other friend about it, which meant she was, like, hey, guess what? I fucked Stephen Jenkins.
Yeah.
I think the weird part is that he picked three women.
That's
and then, like,
the part that's very odd is like to bring them back and like eye
like
them up.
Like a game show. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then be like, I'll take that one. Like Tommy does that, but he picks two of them. It's a little more fair.
And I call it a McPick too.
Yeah, I do that, but then I make the other two hook up with each other. Too?
What's that?
Nothing.
Oh, shit. The other two.
I said I do that, but then I let the other two hook up with each other. So everyone gets some.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
So this other one, it's very crazy. It's going to take me a while to read, but it's like, yeah, so this is not, insane. This isn't a sex one. This is, okay. It was a teenage girl talking about the time she met Stephen
This one
Jenkins.
Is like bonkers. This is the one that I read where I was like,
Well, it's very weird, and who knows, it's extremely long.
And it's very, very poorly written.
Where are these
written.
Stories from?
This is from Tumblr, and it's called The Time I Met Stephen Jenkins. And there's like maybe a novel's worth of backstory, but I'll get to the part where she actually talks to him. So she asks him to give an autograph, to autograph her ticket. So, okay, so my face burned up, and I said, can you initial my ticket, please? And he's like, haha, okay, I've never done this before. This is clearly in her voice. His friends started to make faces and were like, what? to each other.
Is this fan fiction?
This is the crazy part. Then Stephen just went into this like rap frenzy and started saying vulgar and crude things like 14-year-old wet pussy and people fingering underage girls. I shit you not, but I tried to smile anyway. I looked at my friend like, what the fuck is going on? Stephen gave me back my ticket, and then I said to Alex, we need to leave. And he said, not before I get by and sign too. And the rest of this is bad, but the important thing is they're
like mean to her friend. That was like part of it.
Yeah,
and then I think they say the part that's weird is the I signed her ticket with Matt. He starts rapping again as he's signing this other.
Oh yeah,
kid's
here's
ticket.
What he says. So then he started rapping again, but this time it was about us. The only line I remember was, "I took that bitch's mascara and fucked her, and then I signed his ticket and then fucked him too."
Doesn't sound like Stephen's writing.
Now this story was verified. No, it's not. Stephen said it's all true.
CNN posted this. Fucking fake news hacks.
I mean, it's tricky because I obviously, in general, I want to be like, yeah, I don't want to be like, in general, if someone reports something, you should believe women or investigate it. But just also on the other side, in general, a lot of teenagers write things about celebrities that they like. So. I would need more information to really really make an informed opinion about this.
Sure.
It's clearly in her voice, especially.
It really doesn't sound like, and it's on Tumblr. And if it was legitimate, I feel like, but I don't want to say, okay, so I'm like getting like a record. Because I, just based on the idea of like teenagers making up stuff about celebrities, I'm like, that sounds fake.
Yeah.
But from a real life perspective, I'm like, okay, if that happened, that's pretty traumatizing, and I hope it did not happen.
The part, her saying how much you really got through that. That was a tightrope you just walked.
I used to do pageants.
Oh my God.
There's also this one. This one's not about women, but there's a great hate song. AV Club does hate song.
Oh, that was just reading that. It's
do you
so
have,
good.
Can you pull that up?
I haven't pulled up, it's from, what's his name? It's a singer-songwriter, John Vanderslice. And
Vanderslice rules.
That's right. He says that he hates the song. So these artists pick songs they hate. And he picked Semi-Charmed Kind of Life. And he admits, because there's a moment where he quotes Tom Sharpling. And he says that they're garbage music, but then he admits, he's like, but they're better than a lot of the shit that, like, of that category. They're actually pretty good musicians. He even admits that, but he's like, they're making music that's not necessarily interesting. But then he says the reason that he hates Third Eye Blind, the reason he hates that song is because he used to have a small studio. It's a, what is it called? Tiny. It was like a, damn it, it's not Tiny Furniture. That's what I want to keep calling it. But it's, Tiny Telephone. So he had a studio called Tiny Telephone, and he would have kind of smaller artists come in and record for, it's a cheaper studio than what you'd find in LA, it seems. And Third Eye Blind, at 2002, when they were kind of at the height of their success, because 97 is their first album, 99 is the second one. People love their radio hits are still playing all throughout car radios. A young Tom Tokar at that time, Tom Brady, is cranking up Jumper. So they want to use the studio. They've set up a meeting with this guy. Jenkins shows up like 45 minutes late.
I think it's 2 hours late.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's right. He said that they're waiting and 30 minutes passes 45, an hour, hour 15, so he hour shows up, 16.
Yeah. Hour 2 hours late. And he's on his motorcycle. So he's just like Paul Rudd and What Hot American Summer. He just rolls in like.
Yeah. So he's got his motorcycle helmet. Everybody's quiet. The band, like, this is another thing. He's really shitty to his band members, it seems like.
One of them is suing him.
Yeah, he's been sued multiple times by different band members.
Mm-hmm. Never a good sign.
Nope. So he kind of fucks people on money, it seems like, a little bit, and on ownership of the band. He's kind of like, this is my shit. Like, nobody else gets to...
I mean, it kind of is.
Oh, what the fuck?
I feel like he's definitely the lead singer.
Oh, yeah.
Writing.
Sure.
Music.
But you got to be good to your bandmates.
That's true. I don't know the details of that.
So then.
Let's call them up.
That would be sick.
That would be sweet. Maybe, get him on the phone, Tommy. What do you do?
Wait, so my favorite part of the story is that when he shows up, he spins a chair around and sits like front.
Like cool teacher-wise. Yeah. So he gets in this guy's face. He pulls up a chair. He doesn't talk to anybody. He just pulls up a chair, sits face to face with the guy, and he doesn't say hello. He doesn't say, hey, nice to meet you. We've been contacting you through manager. He sits down, pulls up the chair, goes, okay, what are we going to do about this rate? We've got to get this rate down. And the guy tells him, he's like, look, this is one of the cheapest studios in the country. I really shouldn't even be working with you because I have to kick out everybody else who uses the studio because they wanted to use it for 6 weeks straight.
Oh, wow.
So then he ends up doing it. He tells him that, and then he didn't say anything. He doesn't respond to anything that this Vander Slice fella is saying. He just listens, but he doesn't respond. And then he doesn't say anything. Then he stands up with his helmet, starts pacing around the room, and everybody's quiet. And he just goes, okay, let's do it. And then walks out and gets on his motorcycle. And then I guess he was like never in the studio either, which I don't understand. I don't know if that's bad.
I think what they're saying is, that he would just like he'd let the rest of the band just kind of do all the work. And then he would just like kind of
show up and bob around and yell lyrics.
Well, that happens with a lot of bands where they get to the point where they just hate each other so much that they can't. I mean, that happened to the Beatles. They couldn't be in the same room when they recorded The White Album.
Yeah. I heard they broke up.
Whatever happened to those guys?
So, I feel like there's a lot of arguments to be made that he is kind of a jerk. But you don't seem fazed.
Well,
so maybe
no,
not.
I mean, I can see that. Like, I don't want to excuse his bad behavior, so I think that does sound pretty shitty, and I can totally see that, but I don't think that all of that makes me not like the music. Also think that, not to be like, this is okay, I think all musicians should just be better, but you know, most musicians are kind of shitty.
Wow.
Well, when they get big, because it's like, I don't know, you're just disconnected. I mean I don't think it excuses behavior, and I'm sure there are musicians who aren't like that. But I don't know. Don't be an asshole. That was one story. And long career.
Well, Vander Slice makes a good point in that, where he says like bands don't really do that anymore because of the internet.
Yeah.
So now everyone is on their best behavior more because it's like the second you're a dick, everyone talks about it.
Not that it's saying that it's unfair isn't right, because it's like, just be nice to people.
Yeah.
But like, it is kind of shitty that it's like, this, he started acting like this on the cusp of this, of blogging and stuff like that. So it's like, it kind of is all out there on him now. Mm-hmm. Because now whenever he does something, it's just like, people are going to call him out for it. I know that there was more here.
Yeah, were those the only, so, because you said there were stuff with girls, but then were those two the, there wasn't,
I think
those
that
two
it was
were both
just
sort
the,
of like,
yeah, I don't think there's
not
anything
actually
like,
assaulting. Still
I don't
bad,
think there's any assault.
There's no
okay, because I got scared.
It's more just a little
I was a little nervous about that.
Nothing like that that I've not. I saw on one Reddit post, someone said he gave my friend syphilis, but that was like a comment on a Reddit post, so you can't really believe it.
He dated Charlize Theron.
Did he?
How do you say her name? Theron?
He did?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. Good for him. He's a weird looking dude, kind of.
Dude, women love those 90s. Adam Duritz dating Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah,
like,
that's
women
true.
Love those 90s, man.
I'm trying to find if, because there are so many quotes from him that were stupid. But
he does, like, yeah, he's very, like, into himself. I'll give you that. That's true.
Pompous is a word that gets.
Well, I would say confident.
maybe sexy.
I remember last time I looked him up, he said, the thing that made me, like, a little bit less in awe of him lyrically, because I was talking about the song Deep Inside of You earlier, how much it meant to me. And then someone asked him, it was How's It Gonna Be? Because he says the soft dive of oblivion. Mm-hmm. And someone asked him what that means. And he just said, a pussy. Oh, that was like, oh shit, he's kind of an asshole in interviews too. I was reading a bunch of interviews with him where he's very dismissive of the interviewer, and like they'll ask him questions that are actually good, and he's just like, yeah, I don't know, man, like I don't know what you're reading into it, but that's not it. And it's like, shut up.
Aww.
There's an interview with him from Billboard where about the RNC thing, where he's just so dismissive and like kind of aggressive. I don't know. Let's see. Damn it. There's no. All right. You know what? That's enough of Third Eye Blind. It's not. We're going to do the playlist now.
All right.
Let's jump into it, because I do want to talk about these songs too. All right. The first song on your playlist is a little ditty called Jumper.
I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. You could cut ties with all. If you do not want to see me again, I would understand. I would understand. The angry boy, a bit too insane, icing over a secret pain. You know you don't belong. You're the first to fight, you're way too loud. You're the flash of light.
So good.
Great song.
It's classic.
That, like, I remember as a kid, that song moved me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa's crying.
I'm crying. Well, I like that it's such a, like, a serious, sad thing, but also, like, uplifting. I don't know. There's something really nice.
It's a great song.
He dances a line of just, like, I don't know, just talking about something terrible, but not in a way where you're like, that's disrespectful.
No, it feels like genuine.
Yeah,
and
that's what
like,
it's like you can feel the friendship in it too.
I think a lot of why that song meant a lot to me as a kid too is no one. It didn't feel like anybody was talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. Like teen suicide, or like even just suicide in general, it didn't feel as talked about as it is now. Mm-hmm. I feel like people talk about it a ton now, especially with like gay kids being harassed and stuff like that. So then mm-hmm. hearing that, I was just like, oh, finally somebody's saying something real.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, kind of, like, now we laugh at it because it's so out there and, like, the whole idea of being emo or whatever. But he was, like, one of the first ones doing that. So it was real. And now it just feels, it's funny to be genuine. So that's
why we're, so
like,
true. Yeah. I remember when I got to college, a friend of mine would play this ironically. And mm-hmm. I was just like, hey, what the fuck? Like, I had to pretend like it was funny. But I was like, what the fuck? It's a good song. That happened to me with Foo Fighters, like we talked about with Best of You, where they were like, oh, what if you liked this?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that'd be stupid. All right. The next song on this list is Semi-Charmed Life. This is, I believe, their first big song.
It's also kind of.
Oh, no.
She lives for me, says she lives for me, evasion, who own motivation. She comes round and she goes down on me, and I make you smile like a drug for you. Do ever what you wanna do, coming over you. Keep on smiling, what we go through, one stop to the rhythm that divides you. And I speak to you like the chorus to the verse, drop another line like a go to with the curse. Come
believe in the faith that here grows. And the four line chords can make me cry. Oh. When I'm with you, I feel like I could die, and that would be alright. Alright. And when the plague came in, she said she was crossing. But the beach convinced him to see what you thought, but earth to feel alive. But now I'm stuck in to survive those days you were wearing that velvet dress. You're the priestess, I must confess. Those little red panties, they like the cat. Around the belly, face down on the mattress.
Damn. The hotline, Tommy.
Yeah. That like really flew over my head when
I remember.
I was a kid.
Yeah, me too. And then I listened to it like in college. I was like, that is hot. That's a hotline. He talks about sex a lot. And as a kid, I was. It's kind of like we talked about with Maroon 5. Part of what I liked about it, I was like, oh, I shouldn't be hearing this.
Just learning your moves from listening.
And then he talks about doing like bumps or whatever. And you're just like, this is crazy that this is a pop song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tommy, what do you think?
I mean, I love the song, but every time I listen closely to the lyrics, I hate it a little bit more.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it that you don't like about it? Because it's like too cool?
I mean, it is just like, yeah, she comes around, she goes down on me and all that. So it's too much.
It's adult, Tommy. I'm sorry.
He's down in the mattress. It doesn't sound like he's being nice to this lady.
It's
he should be a gentleman.
It.
How do
she
you know?
Likes it.
Where's her song?
That's what Vanessa Carlton's singing about.
Her first time he put her face down in the mattress? What a dick.
Yeah, if you play those two songs together, there's a secret message.
Oh, it's like, yeah.
Just lying.
Yeah, he was high on, what is he talking about?
He's on crystal meth.
Yeah, he's on crystal meth. Banging
a 16-year-old girl. He's a good guy.
Is it meth or heroin?
I thought it was meth. Right?
Yeah,
I read
sense.
Meth.
The San Francisco, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like that's another case of where he's singing about something dark and like addiction. And,
yeah.
But it's so jaunty. Like, it's such a happy song.
Yeah. No, it's fun. That's the thing is you hear it. Like, I feel like they did a Kidz Bop version of that or something. And it's just like a fun song. I'm actually very curious about that. I'm going to look that up later.
If there's a Kidz
Bop. Yeah, we should do a whole Kidz Bop episode, to be honest. Yeah, so that was Semi-Charmed Life. And
such
I feel
a good song.
There's a reason that they became big off of that. Yeah. It's exactly what you just said. Thematically, it's weird. And then it's just like, it's a fun song.
Yeah.
Doot, doot, doot.
Yeah, it makes you want to sing along. But then I think there's so many layers. Like, I liked it when I was younger and I had no idea what he was talking
Same
about.
Same here, yeah.
And then as I got older, you connect to it in different ways. And then just even the idea of addiction and the idea of, like, going back to a place and just, like, you know, like, how, I don't know, well, addiction, you know. But all that stuff, it's like, great, I don't know. Like, it really, it's not the sad part of it. You're thinking about the happiness.
Yes.
But looking back and being like, I know that was wrong, but like, I really.
But the point is, addiction.
Wait, I have something to talk about.
Okay. Yes.
Before you switch to the next song. So I searched Semi Charmed Kind of Love Kidz Bop, and it's like a Mandela effect thing.
What?
Oh, where people remember it,
but it
didn't happen.
I distinctly remember the song "Semi Charmed Life" by Third Eye Blind being covered by Kidz Bop. I had heard this cover many times in my youth. I mentioned this to a few friends. They all remember it too. After many Google searches, I can find nothing proving the song existed. Google the song Kidz Bop. Dozens of links pop up where people remember the song, yet no one can provide a link. Interestingly enough, a few sites near the top are indexed with titles such as 5 Inappropriate Children's Versions of Famous Hit Songs. What the fuck is going on?
This is the first time this has happened to me.
Yeah.
All the other ones, I was like, I don't remember that. But this
one.
Do
you remember?
This one, I remember the commercial, I thought. But maybe, I guess, maybe I'm a fucking idiot like these other people who thought that there was a movie called Shazam. These fucking idiots.
Oh, man.
That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah, that's wild.
I feel weird now. All right. The next song is Motorcycle Drive-By. Finally, we're getting into some deep cuts. Gotta love the song.
Summertime and the wind is blowing outside. And though it's Chelsea and I don't know what I'm doing in the city.
In this song, he's really doing that voice thing where it's like, my eyes.
It crashes through the windows. I'm sleeping on the couch. When I came to visit you, that's when I knew that I could never have you. I knew that before you did. Still, I'm the one who's stupid. And there's this burning like there's always been. I've never been so alone, and I've never been so alive. This is a view on a motorcycle drive by. The cigarette ash flies in your eyes, and you don't mind. You smile and say the world, it doesn't fit with you. I don't believe you, you're so serene. Careening through the universe, your axis on until you're guiltless and free. I hope you take a piece of me with you.
This part's funny to me.
And there's things I would like to do that you don't believe in. I would like to build something, but you never see it happen.
That part where he says, and there's things I would like to do that you don't believe in. I don't know why. As a kid, I always just assumed he meant like anal or something. Like, I don't know. But then you listen, it's like he clearly just wants a relationship with somebody that doesn't want it. No, I love that song. Because it's like, that one I will give maybe is a nostalgic thing. Because I just remember, it's like that thing where you have a crush in high school or whatever, and you hear that song and you just picture the person, and it's like, I think it fits really well with that sort of thing. I don't know.
I actually connect New York to that.
Really?
Because, well, and I feel like that song tells such a nice story of, like, you know, he's chasing this love to a big city, and I did that kind of. I went to NYU and I like followed this guy who I thought I was going to lose my virginity to. Spoiler, I didn't, but I like was in love with him for years. And yeah, I like moved to New York, and I remember just, he went to the New School and I went to NYU.
Mm.
And I would just like walk around and try to run into him all the time.
Yeah.
And there's like a more to the story. But anyways, I do like feel like that sort of like chasing someone to a big city and just like feeling connected to someone in this like massive, I don't know, there's something really sweet about
it. No, I get it. Yeah.
I also did a dance to that song.
Yeah, ooh. I sort of, yeah. Wait.
I like a lyrical dance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
Not,
that's awesome.
I'm not a solo, but I was on a dance company in college, and we did a like a did choreographed
you
group.
Make it this
lyrical
song?
Or it was this song. I didn't pick the song.
You didn't pick the song for it? Wow. They just did that?
They did that song.
That's crazy. That's like a deep
On a tilt, we did a tilt kick. You know?
Ooh. Wow.
So sweet.
Very interesting.
In my high school, if you didn't take, like, you could either take like gym or theater, basically. But if you took theater, which I did, you had to take integrated performing arts. So a third of the year was theater, a third was choir, and a third was dance.
Oh, my God.
So
wow.
I had to take dance class. Yes. And the room had this like big window, and I would always try and like be near the wall so that if anyone walked by, they couldn't look in the window and see me in the
dance
class.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, I would pay so much for that footage.
There was always like one guy in all my dance classes growing up, and then he was just like in all the numbers, and all the girls like had crushes on him.
Damn,
just like the
that
one
was like
dude.
Tommy.
Yeah,
no, it was not like that at all.
Do you still have your leotard, Tommy?
I didn't have a leotard.
Oh, come on, show us that leotard. Tommy. Also, did that song touch you or not?
No.
Oh God, you didn't
like
think about anything. You didn't.
I mean, I thought about
picture Marsha. Just think about it.
It wasn't for me, but
oh shit, okay, all right then. Yeah, it's funny that you said that about, so I'm gonna skip to actually the next song, we'll go back to Never Let You Go, but the last song on here, what you were just talking about moving to a city because of somebody, I feel like Forget Myself is like 100% that, like that's what makes me feel like that, because I did that too, where I moved, well, to be engaged or whatever, I moved for a lady, and then I like listening to this, I was just like, yeah, you don't feel like you fit in, you lose all your friends, and like you're playing a part of something. It's I love this song. So this is called Forget Myself.
Summer fires, I promise.
Ah, I love that song.
Yeah,
it's a good one. So, why that song?
I just think it's a simple one, but it's so I try to pick ones that have different like stories.
Yeah.
All of the ones I picked, like, I feel like tell very clear stories.
Sure.
I like all of his songs, but some of them are more like just kind of like, I can see why people would be like, it sounds like background noise because it's another version of something.
Sure.
This one, I feel like it's sort of like this really sweet, like, love story, but it's falling apart and you know it's not going to work out.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we've all been there where you sort of like been in a relationship where you kind of change who you are for that person. But, you know, it's worth it to you and you get wrapped up and their lifestyle is exciting and new. And and it just tells like a really sweet story. So that's why I like it.
I like it. Tommy, any thoughts?
I hate the way he enunciates. I really hate forgetting. I hate that.
Oh, yeah. That part I don't like
it,
either.
It really
to be
bugs
honest.
Me.
Forgetting myself.
He's trying to get like reggaeton.
I'm a little teapot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Keep on forgetting. I got to stop doing that voice. That's my impression of my dad.
I think the guitars are a little overproduced for my taste.
Yeah.
But,
see, it's funny that you say that. Because I feel like that's a little bit over. Not that nobody does it anymore, because I feel like Kings of Leon and shit did that a little bit too. Mm. But that little, like, ding, like, that they do, I love it, but I just associate it with them. Like, that to me is Third Eye Blind. So I don't mind it when they do it because of that. But sometimes it's a bit much.
I don't hate all the guitar. Like, I love the riff in Never Let You Go. I think that's a great riff.
But in this one.
About that one. Yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I love that song, and yeah, it's like that's definitely one where it's it's not my favorite sounding song, but I like the lyrics a lot. I think that's a lot of what I like about Third Eye Blind is when he tells a story.
Yeah.
God of Wine, Motorcycle Drive By, like those are all stories about, and like, you know, I'm a sucker for a relationship story, so I feel like any, especially if it's one that's like falling apart, like that's why I love that's so much of what I love about them is like he. Like, what's it? How's It Gonna Be is perfect, I think. It's so good.
Well, he captures that. I mean, even like a parallel with the drugs, too. He really captures sort of like doing something, even though you know it's bad for you. And then, but before it's bad, like there is this really sweet part of it. And it's like the best thing. And that's the only way you're gonna get that feeling. So you could have this like boring, mild life where you don't have the bad stuff, but you're never gonna get that sweet stuff.
Yeah.
Or you could like kind of self-destructively get into something you know is bad for you, but that like one little like rush is gonna be so good.
Yes.
And I don't think people should go and do drugs, but I just mean like he captures it so well.
No, but it's worth it for that first rush.
yeah. I'm shooting up right now.
Okay, so the next song here, let's go with Everything Is Easy next. This one I was shocked. It was
a
on
new
here.
One?
It's from 2015.
Yeah, it's
I think.
A new one. I like his new stuff.
So this is a song. Yeah, it's called Everything Is Easy. It's off the album Dopamine.
That's the counterpoint to your their lyrics are good argument.
Yeah, look.
Take my heart up, roll it up like a joint.
Oh, that's just because you're straight edge, Tommy. Come on.
I know it's not like as good as the early stuff, but I wanted to pick some things towards the end too. But I actually do think in this one he captures, like, I like that it captures this sort of like has been, but like you kind of feel like he's like lived a life and he's not it's not the same, but that's almost like the feeling you want. Like wanting to go back to a place is like all his whole vibe, like the whole semi-charm kind of life is all about trying to get back to this thing.
Yeah.
And this song really captures that of like, you know, when you're, I don't know if you've ever been in an unhealthy relationship where you're like, it's bad. And then the moment they're there, you're like, it just, everything goes away and you're like, I'm safe. And then, so I feel like that can also be his career a little bit. Like, you know, he's sort of chasing this thing.
Yeah. Well, Tommy thinks that's stupid. And,
oh my God.
But anyways, I've been too genuine. Wow, this is...
No, I like this. No, that's what this is about. It's you're fine. This is great.
I have no feelings.
No, this is great. Usually people are like, oh, I just thought it sounded sick. People, these fucking guests we have. Trash. No, I am not going to defend Roll It Up Like a Joint. But I like that one. I like the sound of that a lot more than I like some of the old songs that I enjoy lyrically more. I thought that was a fun sound. And I was shocked because I was like, I did not imagine myself liking anything that they've made since 2001 or whatever that third album is from. But that I enjoyed, like I said, it made me listen to a couple other songs they had and that I didn't hate, but that one I definitely liked more than a lot of them. So great pick.
Oh, thanks.
You did like a lot of this is to expose people to a different sound, like something they didn't expect to hear from a band they shit on a lot, and I shit on New Third Eye Blind a lot, and I didn't expect to hear that, so I liked that.
I will say there was a new song he played at Outside Lands that I was like, this is trying too hard, but I was like, I get why he did. It was the Cop versus Phone Girl.
I listened to that and I wasn't into it.
Yeah, and I was like, just sit back.
Just but the I name get, of it yeah. already. I was like, what is this?
Cop versus Phone Girl.
Well, he's like singing about Let's police brutality, but second. It is. Well, yeah, you'll hear it. I get where he's coming from. He's trying to help, but I did think it was trying too hard.
Interesting.
It's still catchy though. He knows how to write catchy music.
I will say I'm thankful that if you go to Third Eye Blind on Spotify, it gives you the hits. Like it doesn't. Okay, a lot of Spotify artists are like, no, like they put their new shit up there, and it's like, you know, goddamn well that that's not what I came here for. Hooba Stank.
Damn.
I assume they would do that. So that's off of We Are Drugs, right? Cop versus Phone Girl. Just a terrible name for a song.
It's a great anime, though. Pulled out her mobile phone. It's the one thing that she owns to keep her known. She's an orphan now. She just moved to a foster home. That phone keeps her connected. She's gonna keep that shit protected. The teacher said, get out of the class. Come on, can I stay? And to his shame, he said the call's been made. I hear footsteps sounding eager of a cop that's about to beat her. Now I am on. I am out with the good fight. And if the cops pull back, throw a peace sign. Hey, baby, have a good night. I am out with the good fight.
You are 53, Steven.
That's just like woke Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
That's just his new ploy to get back into schools.
Maybe instead of imagining dragons, we could imagine equality.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't love that one. But, you know, he's 50, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that song.
Okay, so I saved Never Let You Go for last as like a palate cleanser in case I figured Tommy would hate the last one. So here is Never Let You Go for the idiots out there. Where he's like climbing. Turn around, it's time.
I remember the stupid things, the phone rings, the bracelets and the beads.
I remember the stupid things, the
damn it, fool me.
Nickels and dimes, yours and mine. Did you catch in all your dreams?
What a bad line.
You don't dream for me now.
But I still feel your pulse and like that's the part that I don't like. This part I hate. That girl is like a sunburn I would like to save. What does that mean?
You know, you peel off your skin and put it in a jar. You never did that?
Get the fuck out of our house,
that's
Teresa.
That's a Palo Alto thing.
How could you look at us and say that? No. No.
It's Tom versus sunburn girl.
Oh my god. All right, that was the playlist. Teresa, that's a good playlist.
Thank you.
Great
this
job.
Was so fun.
This is the best. We still have a little bit more shit to do, but I Tommy, you went first last time, right?
Yeah.
So this time I'm going to look through here. I think I'm going to give this, and I'm biased here because I came in liking the band already, so my score is probably going to be a little bit higher. I'm going to go 5.3.
That's getting near Hillary Duff numbers.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah, for Tommy. Tommy gave Hillary Duff a perfect 6 because he wanted to impress Brian Belduto.
All right.
I'm going to go 5.3, and it's for a reason you probably wouldn't expect. It's because I love, there are so many songs that I love more than some of these that I would have picked differently. But also, 5.3 is pretty high for this, and it's out of 6, and you've heard, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
but also, if you had brought in just the top 6, you know, most popular, that would have been annoying. So it's
sure.
There's other songs I like, but I didn't want to put.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that for me,
you did it the right way.
If you had put, losing a whole year has just got to be on this list. I'm sorry. No, I really liked this playlist. I'm so glad you put. I would have never expected somebody to put "Forget Myself" on here, and I love that you did it. Power move.
Hell yeah! I read your diary. So.
Tommy.
Well, I'm going to prove Jared's point because I'm giving perfect ones to the ones I knew. Mm-hmm. Jumper, Never Let You Go, and Semi-Charmed Life.
Yeah.
And perfect zeros to the ones I did not know.
Wow.
Like, so 3 out of 6 for me.
All right. 3 out of 6.
But I do really like some songs that weren't on here. I like Graduate a lot. Mm-hmm. I do like Losing a Whole Year.
Sure.
I like that. What's that? Slow Motion? Is that one?
Slow Motion's
great.
That's
a cool song. Yeah.
Darkness.
Yeah.
Fuck. There's so many good ones. The first two albums are so good. I feel like you could have just anything. I would have given a 6, but I still, yeah, I'm bumping this up. Yours pissed me off. I'm going 5.5.
Yeah.
3, you sick fuck.
I told you exactly
you
what
told
I
me. Teresa, what do you give this playlist
of my own? I have to rate my own playlist.
Uh-huh.
Lately, people have not been giving themselves 6s. So.
Well, the worst thing I ever had to do was when people are like, "Rate yourself," because it's like the, you know, the humble
yourself.
Asian in me
it's
is like, I can't give myself a perfect score, you know.
Think of it as the playlist, though.
So,
it's not
yeah.
you.
I'm gonna be safe and go 5.4 under you.
Wow!
I can't believe this is happening. How are we like 3 in a row on people doing this? The first several, everyone was like, yeah, 6, obviously.
Ask my Asian childhood.
All right, all right.
Have you ever done one of those Reddit AMAs, myself. Ask my Asian?
5.4, but you guys all know I underrated myself.
Yeah.
You all know that out there.
Fair
That's
enough. So take, we have to put an asterisk next to Teresa's score,
<That's>
knowing
so funny.
That she was rating herself, she was underrating herself. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good score. It sounds like we stand by as collectively as a group. I think we stand by every band because of this having the guest
sure. person on.
Yeah,
we're this is an anti-shame podcast. So we talked about this before the show. Our Patreon subscribers, there's a tier where they're allowed to send in a song for us to discuss, and the one this week was sent in to us by. I had to pull up just a second ago.
Elizabeth Wilson.
That's it. Elizabeth Wilson, thank you so much for sending this in. I do want to find the email here.
We're going to talk about a classic.
Yes, and a song that I thought that I didn't know, and then it turns out as soon as it came on, I was like, oh, of course I know this. So she said, my song discussion request is Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood. I enjoy listening to it in all the four ways to listen to music, but I am embarrassed about it. So she's embarrassed for liking this song.
She's wrong. No, I think this is a great song.
I will say, I do think this is a, yeah, this is just a fun song. This is a banger. I'm gonna go on a limb.
Oh yeah, totally.
Call it a banger, Elizabeth. I think you should feel no shame about listening to this song.
What are the four ways to listen to music?
Oh, please don't. Thank you please for don't. Asking.
I don't want to get into it.
MP3, Wave. No.
No. That's four file types for listening to music. We'll get into that a different time.
Oh boy. All right, I take it back.
The four ways.
We don't even have time
to
get into that.
The four ways to listen to music are in the car.
Okay.
While you're at the gym. Communally, like at home, I guess. Is that one of them that we said?
Sure.
I care. Then, like commuting, not on, like in a car, like on the train or like you're walking or something.
Oh, okay.
Cause you're in public. Like, whereas if you're in the car, you're like belting it out. Mm. It's different.
I see.
And those are the four ways.
Okay.
In the book of Stand By Your Band. Chapter one, the four ways to listen to music.
You guys have a Wikia?
We should get one. Somebody make one for us. I'm tired of fucking making shit.
And leave all the piss stuff off of there.
Oh, are you kidding me? What kind of revisionist history is that?
All right, let's play a little of this.
All right, let's hear some of Carrie Underwood. I just had it pulled up, and I'm going to pull it up again.
The best part of is when we listened to it earlier, Tom goes, I don't think I've heard this song, and then immediately started singing along.
Oh, yeah. Before the lyrics even started, I was like, yeah, damn it. Ah, I should have done this. I should have saved it before because now it's going to be a pain in the ass. Here we go. This is Before He Cheats by Carrie Underwood.
Slow dancing with a bleach blonde tramp, and she's probably getting thirsty right now. He's probably buying her some fruity little drink, cause she can't shoot whiskey right now. He's probably up behind her with a pool stick, showing her how to shoot a combo, and he don't know.
Oh, shit.
What else did you carry?
Shit, white
She's
trash
probably
person.
Saying, I'm drunk.
Shania Karaoke.
I'm so glad you picked this song because this is my favorite karaoke song to sing.
Damn.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, this is, wait, was this the one you were telling us earlier?
Oh,
that
yeah,
you, like,
this is the one
to?
I do a screamo version of this where I yell at the audience and I scream, I'll fucking kill you, and I dedicate it to my ex-wife.
This is so perfect because that you dedicate it to your ex-wife. This is so perfect that it ended up being your episode.
I looked up
some song facts about this, and when Underwood sings about her ex putting on bathroom polo, she's referring to vending machines found in the men's room of certain U.S. drinking establishments
whenever
that dispense low-grade cologne.
Whenever I hear that, I'm like, I wish they had that at the bars I went to.
No, you don't want it because they're gross.
What do you mean?
They're knockoff fragrances. They smell like shit. I did it once, and I was like, oh, fuck. Actually, I was just at a gas station, and they had one, and I was like, it was one of those times where I was like, on a long drive to like back home, and I was like an hour from home, and I saw one of those.
You're
I was
on
like,
your way to cheat.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
on Carrie Underwood.
Right now, you're probably driving to Indiana from Chicago. Yeah, and it smells like shit. Those are so bad because it'll say like in the style of polo or whatever, and then it's all the same fragrance.
It's like the kids' bop of
yeah, exactly. It's for kids to fuck. Oh, no. It's for kids to cheat on their significant others, whatever you take that to mean.
So if I was a teacher, I would play this to my kids. Like, this is what happens if you cheat on a test.
I'm gonna take a Louisville Slugger to your bicycle, to your little trike, you little fucko. We started this podcast with Fucko, and I think we're going to end with it. Yeah, I think we stand by that song. I'm going to give that a fucking 6 out of 6 on its own.
Oh, yeah, it's an amazing song.
That gets me fired up. Any song about revenge like that, I fucking love. Like, I mean, it doesn't remind me of the song, but it only in the revenge factor. It's like Goodbye Earl. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yeah, did you fucking show that piece of shit?
I've always loved Louisville Slugger to both have.
Oh, that's so good. That's so satisfying. Mm. Doesn't that feel good just thinking about it? Because you think about yourself doing it and just like, the Cubs would probably fucking miss him. Pieces of shit. Can't bet right now. Pieces. I'm trying to see if there's any last thing I want to say about this song. It won Best Country Song and Best Female Country Vocal Performance at which ceremony is this?
CMTs?
Yeah, I believe that. Oh, no. At the Grammys, I think.
Oh, wow.
However, according to Grammy rules, however, some songs are still eligible for awards if they were released in... Oh, I see. So it won the next year after it came out. All right, cool. Yeah, so it sounds like the world stands by this song. So be proud of yourself for listening to it, Elizabeth. That's a good song. I think that's going to do it for the show. Teresa, thanks so much for coming on. Is there anything you want to promote?
I don't know when this comes out, but this should come out next Wednesday. Follow me on Twitter.
25th.
Yeah. Oh, that's my birthday.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's happened to us like 4 times.
That is crazy. Yeah.
We've had 4 different times where we've put up someone's episode on their birthday.
So, and never on purpose.
It's so weird.
That is weird. It's like the Madden curse.
Yeah.
Except for it's your birthday. speaking of the Madden curse, I think that it just turns out that the league is very dangerous. Yeah. And the odds are you're going to get hurt. So that was my political point about the NFL to end the podcast. But yeah, check out Teresa online.
Some people would have said happy birthday and Tom goes on a rant.
I'm at Larissa T on Twitter, LERESATEE.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for having me. This was
of
really
course.
Fun.
Of course. Yeah. Me and Tommy should promote that if you're listening to this the day it comes out, we have a show called Tom and Tommy Comedy Mommy at Caroline.
Tonight.
At 9:30 p.m., we have Shane Torres.
Joe Firestone.
We have
Mark Norman.
Mark Normand. We have
Dulce Sloan.
Dulce Sloan.
Anthony DeVito.
And Anthony DeVito. And more.
And
it's fucking free, you stupid piece of shit. Why don't you get over there?
Broke asses.
You piece of shit broke ass. If you want a comp where you, there's still like tickets where it's like you don't have to pay a 2-drink minimum. If you want one of those, email me at, email us at standbyyourbandpod@gmail.com. Yeah, that's at 9:30. Also, I will be in San Francisco at Cobb's Comedy Club this very weekend with Nikki Glaser. Come to those shows, you piece of shit.
Yeah.
Why am I so mad at you? You're listening to our podcast, and we love you. Also, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/standbyyourband for bonus episodes and for our new bonus segment, The Worst Song on Spotify, where Tommy and I search all of Spotify to find the worst song we can. And if you think you have one, send us what you've got at the email I said earlier, standbyyourbandpod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, guys. Bye. Stand by your band.